Now, we've been going through this series on This Matters. We started it really at the early part of 2020, and we talked about from the very start about how our message matters. The message that we have to deliver certainly does matter. By the way, we preached about that this morning. The God of Christmas is the God who saves, doesn't He? And we talked about how that message of salvation is so important, not just at Christmas time, but all throughout the year. And our message matters, the message that we are giving out. And then we talked about our membership, how important it is. And now we're specifically talking about our church, but how important it is to be involved in a local church, but be a part of that church, be a member of that church. And then we talked about our music and how our music matters. And it's so important to make sure our music is godly and is pleasing to the Lord. And then we talked about how our ministry matters. What we do in the service of the Lord is so important, whatever area it is. And then our money. Our money matters, and we address that subject. And then our motive. One day, again, as we said, we're going to stand before the Lord. And so why we do what we do is so important. So the motive matters. And then our memorization matters. We try to encourage you to memorize scripture verses and make that a part of your life. And our memorization matters. And then we talked about our mentoring, really the thought of our discipleship. We want to see people saved, but we want to see people growing in the Lord as well. So as a church here, our mentoring matters. And then we talked about how our memorials matter. Just being reminded, looking back at some things that God has done in our lives and making sure those memorials are a very important part of our memory. Our memorials matter. And then our marriages matter. Oh, marriages are so important. We talked about that this morning with Elizabeth and Zechariah, how that they had joined each other in marriage, but they had also joined each other in the service of the Lord and living a life that was pleasing to the Lord, a life of holiness and blamelessness. And so our marriages matter. And then we talked about how our mood matters. Talk about the importance of having the right kind of an attitude as we serve the Lord and as we do what we do for Him. And then our mercy matters. Our mercy matters. God's extended mercy to us and grace to us. And we ought to be Christians of mercy as well, where we extend mercy and show mercy to other individuals. And then we talked about our mission and how that matters. And how our purpose of our church and how the purpose of our church is something that's very important. It matters. And then we talked about how our morality matters. And we ought to have a life that is moral and clean and pure. And then a couple Sunday nights ago, we addressed our manual matters. Our manual matters. And what we meant by that is we were talking about the Bible. Not just the Bible and how important the Bible is, but the specific Bible that we use, the King James Version of the Bible. And so we talked about how our manual matters, and we gave a message that night on why I have the conviction that I have on the King James Version, why we as a church want to have that conviction, why we're going to make sure that teachers that are teaching are only using this version of the Bible, and we're only preaching from this version in our pulpit. And so we talked about how our manual matters. And maybe you have a question on that when it comes to the Bible that you use. I would encourage you maybe even to get a copy of that CD so that you could see where we stand when it comes to the version of the Bible we use, how it matters, and it's so important. And so that was a couple Sunday nights ago. But then tonight, I wanted to move along in this series, and this is the message I wanted to preach tonight. We're going to start here. We're going to use 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as kind of a springboard. And I wanted to talk tonight about a very important subject for our Christian lives. I want to talk about how our modesty matters. How our modesty matters. Now, that whole list of things that we gave are so important. They really do matter. But as a Christian, our modesty matters as well, doesn't it? It is important for us to make sure we are modest, make sure that we're careful with our appearance, because we want to be able to show to this lost and dying world what we should be in our appearance as a Christian. And so we're going to talk about our modesty and how important it is and that our modesty matters. Look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says. We'll look down at verse number 16. And then it gives us a picture of what our body is here. And look what it says in verse 16. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So that would be what we would say when we mention the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We ask Christ to be our Savior, and He comes to live within us, doesn't He? He sets up residence inside of us. So our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So everything we do, He has to take part in, doesn't He? Everything that we're involved in, He's involved in as well, because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He set up residence inside of us, hasn't He? Verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God. If we're impure with the temple of God, we tear it down or destroy the temple of God. Look what he says, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know these are going to be familiar verses, but again, we'll use these as springboard to get into the thought tonight about our modesty and how important it is and how it matters. Look at what 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says. It says, what? Know ye not that your body, there's that word body again, we're going to talk about that in just a second, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. So you don't have the right to do with your body whatever you see fit to do. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we can't defile it. We can't destroy it. We can't be impure with it. We got to make sure that we're keeping our body the way that God would have us to. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know we've brought up this verse a lot, even in this series that we've been preaching. The Bible there is talking about bringing glory to God in your body and in your spirit. That which takes place outwardly and that which takes place inwardly as well. Our attitude, our spirit as well. Now why is that? Because they belong to God, don't they? Our body belongs to the Lord. And so as we begin this message, we're talking about our modesty and how important it is. The Bible is not silent when it comes to the area of our body, even our modesty. Our appearance, we could use that word as well, and even our clothing and the dress standards even that God has for us as Christians. Aren't you glad that God's word is not silent on that? Aren't you glad that there are some great principles that we can pull from the scripture when it comes to our modesty? And so the Bible's not silent in the area of our body and our appearance and our modesty and our clothing and our dress standards. So what we want to see tonight is how the Bible teaches us we're to be when it comes to modesty. But then, for those of us as Christians who have said in our lives already, hey, I've made application of that. I've made application of that. I'm understanding how I ought to be when it comes to my modesty. But then we also can look at the Scripture and see why God wants us to do it. It's so important for us to see how God wants us to keep ourselves modest. But then why God would ask us to do that? When I just said a second ago that God's word is not silent when it comes to our body, our appearance, even our clothing, our modesty, and our dress standards, there are at least 1,100 references to just clothing in the Bible. So you would think about how we would preach a message on modesty and how important clothing is, and we would refer to that 1,100 references in the Bible just to the thought of clothing. So I want to give you some thoughts by way of an introduction. And then when we get to the message, the main part of the message, I have two words that I want to give you. So just two words that I want to use tonight when it comes to our modesty. So some thoughts as an introduction, and then two words that I want to give you in the main part of this message that will help us to understand the importance of our modesty. Thought number one when it comes to our introduction, and this is probably perhaps the most important thought we would give in this message from the very beginning, because if we do not get introductory thought number one, the rest of the message won't mean much to us. So we have to get number one by way of introduction. And the first thought that I want to give you by way of introduction is this: the inward clothing of a Christian is what's most important. The inward clothing of a Christian is what's most important. Now, throughout the message, we'll talk about our outward clothing as well, our modesty when it comes to our outward clothing, but the inward clothing of a Christian is what's most important. And I want you to notice some verses that are going to help us to learn this thought. I want us to look at the book of Isaiah. If you'd go back to the Old Testament, again, we're going to look at some scriptures tonight. If you would go back to Isaiah and you would turn to chapter number 61 of Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 61, and I want us to look down at verse number 10. The main clothing of a Christian is to be the clothing inwardly of their heart and their soul. That's the main clothing. Again, if we do not get introductory thought number one, the rest of the message won't do us much good as a Christian. We've got to get this first thought. So again, the first thought is the inward clothing of a Christian is what's most important. The main clothing of a Christian is that which he puts on inwardly in his heart and in his soul. Notice how the Bible tells us we're to be clothed in Isaiah chapter 61, down to verse number 10, if you would. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my Lord, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Listen to how we're clothed. We're clothed with the garments of salvation. But then notice the next thought of this. He said, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He compares even the bridegroom and the bride and the outward attire that they would have. And he says, God placed upon us the day we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the day our heart and our soul was turned to Christ for forgiveness and salvation, he placed upon us a robe of righteousness. He took this robe of righteousness off of himself, and he took upon him sin, didn't he? And he gave us his robe of righteousness. As a matter of fact, we sing a song that talks about that, don't we? His robes for mine. He exchanged sin that he took from us when he died on that cross, and he had that sin on him when he died, and he gave us the robe of righteousness. So we're to be clothed in righteousness, aren't we? We're to be clothed in the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness that God has given to us. But then look at another way we're to be clothed. So number one is righteousness. It's so important for us to remember that. The inward clothing of the heart and the soul, righteousness. But then look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, back in the New Testament now. 1 Peter chapter 5, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5 it says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and look what he says, and be clothed, or have a garment of or with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. What are the two ways in which we on the inside or inwardly in our heart and in our soul are to be clothed? The Bible says to be clothed with righteousness, but it also says to be clothed with humility, or put about us a garment of righteousness. Put about us a garment of humility. And so the inward clothing of a Christian does not go unseen. That's something we have to remember. The inward clothing of a Christian does not go unseen. We're to have a testimony of righteousness, of humility in our lives. So the important clothing that we are to wear is the inward clothing of the heart and of the soul. It's the most important clothing that we have to put on. The inward clothing of righteousness and humility. Now, someone clothed with righteousness and humility has the attitude of a servant, don't they? Someone that's clothed with righteousness and humility is an individual that's teachable, is an individual that's approachable, is an individual that wants to learn what God's Word says, is a person, is a Christian, has the character of possessing a desire to live right. They want to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. A person who's clothed with righteousness and humility possesses a spirit of obedience rather than a spirit of rebellion, because they've been clothed in righteousness and humility. A person who's clothed in righteousness and humility is concerned about their testimony. But hold on, they're not just concerned about their testimony as an individual. They're also concerned about the testimony of Christ. Because as we put out a testimony individually, we really are reflecting a testimony of Christ, aren't we? And so a person that's clothed inwardly in their heart and in their soul with righteousness and humility lives in such a way. But a person who is not clothed with righteousness and humility becomes more interested in satisfying the flesh, becomes more interested in following the flesh than they do in following the Spirit of God in their lives, especially as He speaks to us, as He dwells inside of us. The person who is not clothed with righteousness and humility even can become critical of others, even though outwardly they might even be clothed the correct way. I hope you understand what I mean. A person who's not inwardly living in righteousness or being clothed with righteousness and humility can become very critical. And they may look on the outward appearance as if they're doing okay, but they're not clothed inwardly in their heart and their soul the way that they should be. So the clothing of a Christian, which is inwardly now, which is righteousness and humility, relates strongly to the rest of the Christian's clothing. And that would be what we mean outwardly that a Christian would wear. So the Christian with the right clothing of the heart and the soul will want to make sure that the clothing of the body is pleasing to the Lord as well. So inwardly, we've got to make sure we're clothed with righteousness and humility. And then that will go hand in hand with wanting to make sure that our body outwardly is clothed in such a way where we're pleasing to God. Let's put all of this together, application, with a verse from the Old Testament. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel and chapter number 16, and all of this will come together with this verse in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Remember, this was the time in 1 Samuel chapter 16 where Saul had been rejected as king of Israel. Remember, Samuel was to go and he was to anoint another king. Now, after he anointed the king, and we know who the king was, we know it was King David, wasn't it? After he anointed King David, a man after God's own heart, he did not take over right away as a position of king, as leader, but he was anointed to be the next king of Israel. Well, the Bible tells us Jesse brings out all of his sons. And as a matter of fact, in Jesse's eyes, he's thinking that there's a son that looks a certain way. He would certainly be the one outwardly, with his outward appearance, he would be the one that God would choose to be the next king. So I hope you're with me as far as the context of the scripture where we're at. Remember, there was one son missing though, right? Samuel had gone through all the sons, and God had rejected every one of them. And Samuel begins to ask Jesse, are there any more sons? Do you have any more that we could look at to consider to be the next king of the nation of Israel, the people of Israel? Well, David, he was out taking care of the sheep, wasn't he? David came in, and shortly thereafter, David was anointed to be the king of Israel. But notice what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7. It says, but the Lord said unto Samuel. Now this is right after Samuel and Jesse, and certainly all of those sons thought that on the outward appearance, they certainly looked as if they would be chosen to be king. Look what it says. It says, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Now notice the second half of the verse is what's very important for us with what we have just talked about, the clothing inwardly, and then how that if we're inwardly clothed the right way in righteousness and humility, we will then make sure that outwardly the clothing of the body would be pleasing to God. Both parts are important, aren't they? Notice what he says at the end of this verse. For man looketh on the outward appearance. I'm sorry, I skipped the part. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Now we already know that's true, don't we? God doesn't see the way we see. His ways are perfect. He certainly understands, doesn't he? Notice what it says. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looketh on the heart, it says. You know, some people would take that scripture and they would say, well, God sees the heart, so why would the outward appearance of our dress be important? God understands what's going on inwardly, doesn't he? We need to make sure what's inwardly is right. The inward part of our clothing or the inward part of our heart and soul to make sure that we're clothed in righteousness and humility. So would the answer to that be, well, that's true. Since God is the only one that sees the heart, then is it really important how I look outwardly? We've got to make sure we look at the whole verse, don't we? See, it says that the Lord, he sees the heart, but what does man see? Man looks on the outward appearance, doesn't he? So God sees inwardly on the heart, but man, he sees the outside. And so the only way for man around us outwardly now to know our heart is by observing it. And how do they observe outwardly what's going on inside of us? Well, they can see it in our actions, can't they? They can see it in our attitudes. Now, sometimes things in our attitudes can be brewing on the inside, but it's not long before it comes out, doesn't it? And so man can see it outwardly in our actions and our attitudes. But I truly believe with all of my heart, and I think you would agree with this, that they also see it in our appearance, don't they? The way that we look. The way that we've kept ourselves outwardly. So my appearance really would be the first thing that a person would see when they would look at me. Now my appearance is important to the Lord, so therefore it ought to be important to me as well, shouldn't it? That's why we would say that modesty matters. That's why we would look at 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 7, and we would say both parts are so important. To make sure inwardly we're clothed in our heart and our soul with righteousness and humility, but outwardly we want to make sure our outward appearance is pleasing to the Lord as well. So modesty then would not just be an issue of clothing or an issue of the body, but it would primarily be an issue of what's going on inside, in the heart, an issue of the heart. So attitude then would be a key to our attire. And character is in part revealed even in our clothing, what we are putting on. So our first statement as an introduction, so important for us to remember, is that the inward clothing is the most important. But here's our second statement as an introduction. Everyone, now we're talking about how modesty matters now, everyone, number two, has a dress code. Everyone has a dress code. Now there are two ways that we could apply that. We could say that some individuals have a dress code and theirs is by design. And what we mean by that is they've guided their dress code by moral principles. They've designed the way that they're dressing based on moral principles. They've come to learn and know that God has a certain way He wants a Christian to dress. And so they say, mine is by design. Mine is by some moral principles that I've set in my life. God has these laid out for me in His Word, and this is exactly what I want to do. Again, but remember now, it starts there in the heart, doesn't it? But then there's a second way in which individuals can have a dress code. Some can have it by default. And what we mean by that is they're guided by worldly peer pressure. They choose to dress how the world says to dress, or maybe perhaps how their flesh dictates to them that they should dress. But everyone, number two, by way of introduction, has a dress code. Number three, here's our third introductory statement that we want to give you, and then we're going to get to those two words that we have to notice when it comes to the importance of our modesty. Number three, holiness should be the standard for our dress code. Holiness should be the standard for our modesty. We talked about how inwardly we got to make sure we're clothed right, and everyone does have a dress code, and so since everyone's going to have a dress code, holiness should be the standard for it. The emphasis in God's Word when it comes to our clothing is modesty and identity. And we'll talk about those in just a minute, but everything we do outwardly should come from an inward desire to live a pure and a holy life. Now, I want you to make sure you understand as we're going through this that dressing a certain way doesn't make you a spiritual person, though, does it? Just because you say, well, I've got a dress code, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily living in holiness. Now, holiness ought to be the standard of our dress code, but that doesn't mean you're a spiritual person or you're living in holiness just because you're dressing a certain way. But ultimately, our desire should be to please God and live a holy life that will cause us to dress in a certain way. So now, we want to be able to get to those two words that are so important when it comes to our modesty and how it's so important for us to make sure that our modesty matters. Let's notice two words, and both of these words are going to give us some Bible truths about our clothing and our modesty. Now, would we not say that really the only thing that's important here is what God says about it? The only standard we want to live by is what God says about it. So that's where we come to those two words. We got to make sure our convictions come from God's Word. If our convictions come from God's Word, they're not going to be correct convictions. And if those convictions don't eventually find their way to our heart, they're going to be forsaken. And so we're going to look at some biblical convictions when it comes to these two words that we're going to talk about. The first one is this, the word modesty. In our clothing, what are some Bible truths or some Bible principles when it comes to the way we adorn ourselves? Number one, the word modesty. I want you to find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in our Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want us to notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. And then we'll go down to verse number 10. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 9. And then we'll look at verse number 10. All right, notice what it says here. Verse 9, and then we'll move to verse number 10. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. It says, in like manner also, it says that women adorn themselves. And notice he even gives the word that we've been using, in modest apparel. Modest apparel has the idea of, before we go on anymore in the verse, it has the idea of behaving when it comes to our apparel according to a standard of what is proper, what is decent, and what is pure. First of all, let's deal with that word proper. I would say that we would all be in agreement that there are different clothes for different places that we go. We're not going to wear the same outfit to church that we would when we're out shopping, right? So we would say a proper way. We've got to have a proper way to dress. So in church, we make sure we're dressing a proper way, don't we? We make sure we're taking that which we have that's the very best because we're going to serve a God who's given us His very best. And we're going to make sure that when, you know, I use the illustration of shopping. That's a poor one for me because I don't really like shopping. Let's talk about a ball game. You know, I'm not going to wear what I would wear perhaps on a Sunday morning when I'm going to a ball game. So there's a proper way of dressing. Different way of dressing depending on where we're at, right? So different clothing, maybe perhaps for different places where we're at. So it's not that God is trying to tell us a proper way is to always have a suit on. Or a proper way is to always have the nicest dress clothes that you have on. But I do believe we wear the very best we have, the very best we can possibly put on when it comes to meeting together in God's house because it's an important place and we're worshiping a holy God, aren't we? And so there's proper clothing depending on where we're at. But then remember we use those two words at the end of the definition. There's also a decent and a pure way of doing things. And what that means when it comes to the thought of modest apparel, it's talking about making sure that we're not displaying our body in a way that would be inappropriate. Making sure that our apparel does not bring attention even to our body. We're making sure that we're modest with it. Apparel then should be pure. It should be decent in its covering and even in the way that it fits. Making sure that for a lady specifically, he even says it here, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Making sure that it doesn't come down too low and making sure that it's not coming up too high and making sure that it's not too tight to cause lust in a way that God would say would be immodest with our clothing. So modest apparel really should be concealing instead of revealing. Modest apparel. Decent, proper, pure. Let's make sure it's concealing, it's covering instead of revealing. We could go back to the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, even in a sinful condition, remember Adam and Eve sinned, didn't they, in the garden? And even in a sinful condition, Adam and Eve realized they needed to be covered, didn't they? Even in their sinful state, when they were first introduced to what that sin nature was like, they realized that they needed to be covered. Why was that? The Bible even describes it. We could take time to turn back there, but we won't. In Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible describes it. It says because they were feeling shame. They were ashamed. So what did they do? They covered themselves. They made these fig leaves and covered themselves. But remember, God wasn't satisfied with their solution, was He? And so the Bible tells us that God clothed them in the way that He felt was proper. Matter of fact, that's all a picture of salvation, isn't it? Because the blood of the animal was shed for the purpose of covering the bodies of Adam and Eve to again give us that wonderful picture of that the Lamb of God that was going to give His blood for us. Look down, if you would, at verse 9 again. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now we'll go on. It says, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Notice the end of the verse here now. It says, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now we would look at that and we would say, well, is the Bible trying to tell us that those things are wrong? Is it the Bible trying to tell us that for a lady, it would be inappropriate for her to fix her hair up and for her to make sure that she has some jewelry on if she would prefer to wear that? Would it be that God is trying to tell us that that's not okay? He's trying to tell us that it shouldn't be the source of our beauty. Remember, we could go back to the very start, couldn't we? The inward beauty, the inward clothing of righteousness and humility. So he says to make sure that those things are not the source of your beauty. And then notice what he says in verse number 10. He says, but which becometh women, notice this, professing godliness with good works. Here's what he's trying to tell us. It's not what is worn that is important as what we are. It's not what you're wearing outwardly that is as important as what is going on inwardly. But what is being worn outwardly will be a reflection of what is taking place inwardly. As we're inwardly clothed with righteousness and humility. So I want to give you two thoughts with this word, modesty. Two thoughts with this word modesty, that's word number one now. And the first thought is this, real attractiveness is the beauty of the inner man. I want you to look at 1 Peter. We've got a couple more verses we're going to look at tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter, chapter number 3. And let's look at verse 3, and then let's look down at verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Thought number one about modesty is real attractiveness is the beauty of the inner man. You say, man, you keep bringing that up. You keep bringing up the inward man because the inward clothing of the heart and soul is so important. And the real attractiveness is what's going on inside. He just mentioned that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10 when we read it. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. It says, whose adorning... Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. Again, those things aren't bad, but that's not the source of the real beauty. Look at what he says in verse number 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, notice this, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, we violate, again, back to this thought, the attractiveness of the real attractiveness of the beauty is the inner man. And we violate the principles of modesty when we use our body for the purpose of making ourselves attractive. And that's what he's trying to say. We violate the Scripture's principles on modesty. So let it be that your appearance, and I know we've already talked about this when that we use that word a modesty, making sure that it's not too tight and making sure that it's not too low and too high. Let it be that your appearance draws attention to your face and not your body. That's what God's trying to say. Let it be that that's the attractiveness. That's what draws the attention when it comes to your appearance, your face and not your body. Here's a thought for you to remember when it comes to our modesty and our clothing. Christians should dress to be admired, not desired. Christians should dress in such a way where they'd say, I desire to be admired and not desired, not that somebody would desire me. Here's thought number two. Thought number one, when it comes to modesty, we said real attractiveness is the beauty of the inner man. But number two, don't allow your clothing choices to attract worldly lust. That would be what we would mean when we use the word modesty. Let's not allow our clothing choices to attract worldly lust. Look at Romans, if you would. A couple more verses here. Romans chapter 13. And let's notice what the Bible says about our flesh. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14. Down at the very end of the chapter, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14. It says this, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice the end of the verse. "And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Remember, don't allow your clothing choices to attract worldly lust. There are three ways in which we communicate with others. And I want you to notice, as I give you these three ways that we communicate with others, all three of these ways have a unique way of also letting others know whether we've trusted Christ as Savior or not, whether we're a Christian. The first one is communication. And we can communicate in a clean way or we can communicate in a corrupt way. Our communication reveals much about what's happening inside, doesn't it? We allow words to come out of our mouth that are corrupt and they're not clean. They're not under God's control. We've allowed the flesh to take over. It says much about what's going on inside. But there's another way in which we communicate to others, not just in our conversation, our communication, but also our countenance. Have you walked up to somebody before and you just look at their countenance and you can see whether there's joy or whether they're miserable? I mean, it doesn't take long. You look at just their countenance. Isn't it amazing how even our countenance can communicate? Would you agree with that? Think about what happened even with Cain. When God said to him, "What's going on with your countenance there, Cain? Why has your countenance changed?" Remember, that was right after he had killed his brother. "Why has your countenance changed?" A lot can be said. We communicate with people with our conversation, but then also our countenance, whether we're joyful or whether we're miserable. But we also communicate with people with our clothing as well. Whether we keep it modest or whether it's inappropriate. And Jesus warned men about something. And I want us to look really quickly at Matthew chapter number 5. We're drawing this to a close. Matthew chapter number 5. Jesus warned men about the importance of making sure we're not committing adultery in our hearts. When it comes to the possibility of us lusting, when it comes to the possibility of us when it comes to worldly lust. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 5 down to verse number 28. It says this, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Can you see how modesty is so important? Jesus says, I'm warning men to make sure that you're not looking on a woman to lust after her if you've committed adultery already in your heart. Now, why would Jesus put that verse in the Bible? Because he realizes that man is stirred by what they see. Man is drawn in a fleshly way by what they see. What a man sees when he looks at a woman has a definite effect on his mind. You say, well, how could you give illustration of that? Well, let's just go to David and Bathsheba. Think about the story of David and Bathsheba. I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter number 11, where David's on his rooftop there and he looks down at Bathsheba who's bathing herself. It had effect on David, didn't it? It even led David later to commit adultery with Bathsheba because of what he saw with his eyes. So Jesus is warning us not to commit adultery just by looking on a woman to lust after her. They've committed it already in their hearts. Think about the story in Mark chapter number 6. Here's King Herod. King Herod has John the Baptist in prison, doesn't he? And remember, there's a lady named Herodias. And Herodias' daughter comes in and she dances before Herod. Do you remember the story in Mark chapter number 6? As she is dancing before Herod, Herod's eyes affect his heart. And it affects his heart so much that he looks at the daughter of Herodias and he says, I will give you up to half my kingdom, whatever you ask me for. And what was it that she asked for? The head of John the Baptist on a charger. If you would give me the head of John the Baptist, that's what I desire. Now, King Herod did not want to do that, but because he had made an oath, he kept his oath, didn't he? His eyes affected his heart. It's so important for us to remember that truth, and that's why Jesus puts it there, to make sure that we are cautious as men, to make sure we're not lusting and there's not fleshly desires in our heart because we are stirred by our sight. Now, on a totally different subject, now ladies are stirred by the touch, aren't they? By the way, God has a verse for that too, doesn't he? It's not good for a man to touch a woman. It's not talking about giving a handshake, but it is talking about stirring the flesh, isn't it? God understands what we go through, doesn't he? He understands the differences between the genders and the battles and the struggles that we face. So men need to be careful with their eyes and with their heart. But if a woman, with her clothing and with her conduct, has encouraged lust in a man's heart, she shares the guilt, doesn't she? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter number 12, it starts to talk, and throughout that proverb, it talks about the strange woman. How does the strange woman lure that man? Do you remember Proverbs chapter number 7? She lures him with her conversation. She also lures him with her conduct. But she also, which ultimately really is a sign of her character, isn't it? And then she also lures him with something else. She had on the attire of a harlot. She lured him with her clothing. The way that she spoke, her conduct, her character, and then also her clothing. It is so important to make sure that we keep ourselves modest, that the attractiveness is the inner man. The beauty is from the inner man, and making sure that we're not stirring up worldly lust. But here's our second word, and we'll finish with this, and we'll be done here shortly. The word identity. So if modesty really matters, our first word is modesty. Our second word is identity. Now before I give you the two little thoughts that I have under this principle of identity, let me give you the definition of what we would say is the principle of identification when it comes to us as Christians. What is the principle of identification? Well, a Christian should not associate himself with any place or anything that would indicate his support or his approval of it. We've got to make sure we're identified by what we are, who we are. So I want to give you two thoughts with this really quickly. Number one, our clothing, number one, should not erase the distinction of our gender. It should, number one, not erase the distinction of our gender. Modesty and identity, those are the two words we used. Another way we could use it is decent and distinct. We've got to make sure we're decent with what we wear, but we've got to make sure we're distinct with what we wear. Now, the world that we live in and the culture that we're living in wants to blur the lines when it comes to genders, doesn't it? This world desires to blur the lines. And the attack of Satan, who's the greatest enemy we have, the attack of Satan is upon two things when it comes to our gender. He's attacking the manhood of a man. And he's also busy attacking the femininity of a lady. The devil's attacking, isn't he? There's a battle that's going on when it comes to the distinction of our gender. But God's got some principles. I want you to look back at the Old Testament really quickly at Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, and let's notice a principle that's given in the Bible here in Deuteronomy chapter number 22 when it comes to the distinction of our gender and our modesty. Deuteronomy chapter 22 down to verse number 5, it says this. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. That's pretty clear, right? I mean, that's pretty clear what he means by that. Notice what it says. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are, now notice this word here, an abomination unto the Lord thy God. God there in Deuteronomy chapter 22 declares it an abomination to destroy the distinction between genders, between a man and a woman. He's saying this, what is appropriate for one was not to be used by the other. That's pretty simple, right? What is appropriate for one is not to be used by the other. Now, we don't want to rebel against the design of our God, do we? And now the world wants to tell us that, culture wants to tell us that, but we understand God's created two different genders, and He's created them to be different in many ways. And so we don't want to rebel against the design of God. God created a separation. God created a difference when it comes to the genders. And there's always a danger when we try to break down something that God has set up. And God has set it up a unique way, hasn't He? And there's a danger when we try to break that down. Even nature really teaches us that there's a distinct difference between a male and a female. There are really some natural expectations and some differences of what a lady and a man would look like. We could use several illustrations. We could say in our hair. We can pretty quickly tell even a gender just by looking at hair, can't we? Then how about even jewelry? Jewelry in a way that a lady would wear that, obviously in the difference of a man. Think about our clothing, though. The difference that God has set up when it comes to the modesty of our clothing, the kind of clothing we wear, and the cut of our clothing as well. So number one, under this word identity, our clothing should not erase the distinction of our gender. And number two, and we'll be done, our clothing should undeniably identify us as a believer. Our clothing should not erase the distinction of our gender, meaning we should be identified as a man or a lady, but also we should be identified as a believer. Just by the outward appearance. That's what man sees. So back to our opening text. Now we're not going to look at them, but back to our opening text. Remember, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're His children. He indwells us with His Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. And so we would say, when it comes to identifying ourselves with our clothing as a Christian, there's certainly nothing wrong with being fashionable with our clothing. Nothing wrong with even being comfortable with our clothing. But it should not violate Bible principles. It should not violate modesty. It shouldn't violate identity. We should avoid styles and fashions that we would say are associated with the world. We'll put it this way with our clothing and our modesty. Don't forsake your testimony so that you can be fashionable and you can be comfortable. Don't let it be that as a Christian we say, well, I'm going to put aside my testimony so that I can be fashionable, so that I can be comfortable with my clothing. Testimony is really the core of, when we talk about clothing for a Christian, testimony is really at the core of it. We want to make sure that our testimony is pleasing to the Lord. We'll ask a question, and we'll bring this to a close with a little thought that I saw as I was studying for this message and putting these thoughts together. Question first, though, have you ever stood in front of a closet, maybe even perhaps a mirror? And we're talking about how our modesty matters. Have you ever stood in front of the closet right before you go out for the day? Have you ever stood in front of the mirror, perhaps, right before you go out for the day and asked God, what should I wear today? God, what would you have me to put on? If modesty really matters, if my identity as a Christian and the gender that God has designed me to be, if it really matters, God, what would you want me to wear? Is it that important to you? I heard this said, and I'll read it and we'll be done. It says, if we meet and you forget me, you have lost nothing. But if we meet and you forget Christ, you have lost everything. If we meet and you forget all about me, nothing we've lost. But if you forget the God that I serve after you meet me, I've lost everything, haven't I? And so the question tonight when it comes to our modesty, what do people remember about you after you part? What is it that people would remember about us? That's why our modesty is so important. That's why our appearance is so important, because we communicate with that, don't we? And so let's make sure that in our hearts, our modesty is important to us. What we do with our outward appearance is important. Our modesty does matter. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and ask yourself that question as we draw this time to a close here tonight? With our modesty, have you ever thought of that question? Have you stood in front of maybe a closet, an open closet, getting ready to prepare for the day, maybe a mirror, getting your outfit prepared and ready, and you said, God, are you pleased with this today? God, is this what you would have me to wear? I want to be identified as a Christian. I want to make sure I'm modest in what I'm putting on. But then even before that, have we inwardly put on the parts of the heart and soul that need to be put on? Righteousness. Holiness. God sees the heart, but it's also reflected in our actions, our attitudes, and our words. So inwardly, are we what we should be? Inwardly, are we clothed in righteousness and holiness? And then have we set up this standard in our life when it comes to our clothing choices and our body and our what we adorn ourselves with, that it's modest and that it identifies me as the gender that I am, and as the Christian, the believer that I claim to be? with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to have Ms. Dawn come to the piano. And tonight, while